I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm In7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Specters, how's it going? Welcome back to another exciting week of the Mass Effect Lorecast. We are continuing with some corporate lore, kind of not really, and joining me as always is my wonderful co-host Genesis, who just celebrated a birthday.
My birthday was on Saturday.
Yes, and how was it? Do you feel like you are any older?
I did some pretty heavy lifting on Sunday, so the fact that my body is sore today, yeah, I'm feeling old.
This is what happens as we get older. It goes from doing heavy drinking on your birthday to heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, here we are to do the heavy lifting of the lore. See what I did there? That's my secretary, and I'm proud of it. But we are going to be talking about a little bit of a curveball today. Not really a corporation. We have another character to talk about, but this guy is rather mysterious, as we only meet him once and no one knows quite who he is.
Ooh, okay. Lily Herax? Or maybe the Biotic God?
Neither of them. However, I do feel the need that we need to clarify who Lily Herax is. For everyone who is like, where is that name coming from? Out of left field.
I love him. He is a Turian on Novaria, the one that he is adamant will not give you his parking pass or his garage pass to get out of there. Yes, his multipass.
Yeah, as Day Zero in chat here says, he is the Brooklyn Turian.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Turian from Brooklyn. Yeah, not Lily Herax or the Biotic God. This character's name is Roland Quarn.
Wait, that's as out of left field as Lily Herax is.
I did not make this name up, although it sounds like I did on the spot. Roland Quarn sounds completely made, well, it is made up, but it's fiction. Of course it's made up. No, this is a real character from the lore, and I think you remember him. He's that sketchy Turian from the Citadel DLC. We see him standing alone by the bathrooms in the casino.
Yeah, okay, now I do remember him. He's leaning up against the wall, one foot pressed up. Yeah, I remember him.
Yes, he is the dude that is too cool for school. And Shepard can strike up a conversation with him. And so let's take a listen to how this goes. And actually, we're going to bring this up on the screen. I'm going to try to. I should have set this up before the stream. But this is what you get. This is what you get when you have a new baby and you're sleep deprived and you don't do things like you should. All right, the video portion is not working, but the audio portion will work, and that's okay because we're a podcast.
Interesting. You're not mingling and you're not betting. What's your game?
The name's Roland Quarn. Game, Commander Shepard, is hearts and minds.
Care to elaborate?
Most people in this casino are here for a good cause. Others are just here to be seen. Phonies, if you will. They have money they won't miss. Others who are not myself need it.
Okay, I'm gonna stop right there because he is giving off such immense Holden Caulfield. Wow. I am very sleep deprived. Someone pray for me. Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye. His mention of phonies there was, you know, a bunch of phonies who need to be parted with their money.
Yeah, but that voice, though. I'll have to look into who that voice actor was.
That voice is, I pulled actually one of the audio files, and I don't know what kind of post-processing effects they did in the game, but when you pull the clean audio file from the game, he doesn't sound nearly as cool or gruff or sexy or insert adjective here.
Okay. Well, at least I'll still look into it and find out who the voice actor is. I don't know if I would want to hear Garrus without the flange, though. Maybe I won't do this.
Garrus without the flange actually sounds just like Garrus. The reason I know that is because the voice actor for Garrus, Brandon Keener, did a few Smucker's commercials. Do you remember those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Of course I knew that he married Mother Nature and had this cute little kid. I mean, he's also done so many other things that I've seen him in, so I'm aware of what Brandon Keener sounds like. Not flange.
Not that cursed Filet-O-Fish commercial. Not that one. Do yourself a favor, everybody, and Google that when you get home or to work or wherever. You'll thank me later. But there's a little bit more to listen to about where Roland Quarn takes us in this conversation. And we quickly pick up that he is a criminal and he's not as hostile as a lot of the other criminals that we meet in the series. So let's take a listen.
Con men leave their marks angry. Con artists leave them smiling.
I'm debating whether I should report you to security.
Oh, I like a good debate.
Would you be so smug if I got you thrown out of here?
Possibly. I'd like to see you explain my wicked motives right after you explain why you have a radio in your ear.
Well, since I don't see you turning me in either, I gather you're no friend of Khan's.
Khan doesn't have friends. Anyone who says otherwise is deluding themselves.
So, is Khan part of your game tonight?
No, I simply sheer... No, what do humans call it? I fleece his guests.
Then there's no harm in telling me what his weaknesses are.
I've studied him. He's ruthless and rich, but not very bright. Temperamental. Doesn't deal well with the unexpected. He's also used to letting other people handle things he doesn't understand, like his security.
That's quite an assessment. Do I owe you anything?
No. We do what we do because there are wrongs that need righting. The wrongs I address are simply pettier than yours.
And I guess we know where we stand, Mr. Quarn.
Enjoy the evening, Commander.
Yeah, I agree with you with what you just said in chat, Genesis. That canned laughter in the background. Why do I feel like that was just recorded from like two audio engineers? They were like, hey, we need a laugh track. We don't have access to any in the library right now. Oh, it's okay. We're out of the restaurant right now. We'll just record ourselves laughing about something fake.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And it's looped forever. And, not very good.
Because this is not a real cutscene. This is one of those ambient dialogue things. Speaking of which, when Quarn says, con men leave their marks angry, con artists leave them smiling. I rolled my eyes so hard, but at the same time, this feels just like one of those like suave, flirty slash edgy conversations in a James Bond movie. You know what I mean?
Very James Bond. A little smarmy, a little smug, but yeah, totally fits the character vibe.
But also I could like a little bit of sexual tension.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I definitely felt that. There was flirtation going on there, and he was seeing if he could pick Shepard up as a mark. I see it.
Yeah, for sure. So clearly, Mr. Quarn here, not to be trusted, and we can actually see that on his face. Not from what's on his face, but rather what is not on his face. He's barefaced. And as we know with Turian lore, anyone without their tribal face markings is not to be trusted.
Yeah, because being barefaced and open is actually a sign of deceitfulness.
It is. It's refusing to show where your flag is planted, if you even have one. basically. So that's the real problematic part with that one. But, you know, a lot of players, I think, will just go through the Citadel DLC, maybe run into him and then walk away from it, kind of laughing like, huh, that was kind of a weird conversation. What a smarmy con man, you know? And then they'll forget about it as kind of just like a throwaway joke. But it turns out there is more to this guy. And it's not the first time that he is actually mentioned in Mass Effect lore. There is a decent amount of background for him, like enough that we're going to do a 1 hour episode right now. Right. So, or at least 40 minutes. I don't know. I guess we'll see how fast we can talk about him. But the point is, his character was created all the way back in Mass Effect 2. So, yeah,
I don't remember seeing him at all.
I know it's because he wasn't in the game, but he was part of the game, so to speak. He was part of the Cerberus Daily News segments that came out. So if anyone had the app, I think it was on an app. I think they also appeared on the little, like terminal thing in the menu. Mm-hmm. If you were keeping up with those and you saw Roland's story, now is the time to feel vindicated. So we have a collection of how he appeared in two separate storylines in the Cerberus Daily News, segments. And we have here the first one, which originates on Ilium, actually, in Nos Astra. So I will go ahead and read this first part, and then we can alternate Genesis. But this one says, He started one of Nos Astra's hottest companies. His vision landed him on magazine covers. His parties, legendary. And he was a fake. You like that? Deliberate pause? Yeah. All right. Delamcore Systems CEO Jackson Borland is actually Roland Quarn. It's such a made-up name. Sorry. Is actually Roland Quarn, and I'm not having a stroke when I say that. A Turian from Erinle who met Borland on vacation when Borland died from a heart attack a week into his holiday, Quarn boldly lifted the CEO's passport, sampled his genetic material, and passed himself off as a tanned Borland. Even close friends simply thought that Borland seemed energized and eager to get back to work.
Okay, before we discuss anything else, Turians can tan?
Yeah, right? And also, why is this? I have so many questions about Turian beauty standards, about their physiology, about why, how would this even work with carapace? Like, are you purposefully burning your carapace? Does it look better to certain Turians? I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
So many questions. But also, the audacity. Okay, so one, is he just in the right place at the right time? Or did he kind of cause a heart attack? That's what I want to know. Like, how would you be there to lift the CEO and know how to get around all this? Or to lift the passport?
Yeah, it is pretty opportunistic, isn't it? So either he has killed the CEO and was planning this for a while, or this ain't his first rodeo.
True. Okay. I see that.
So I don't know. I would think that there would be some kind of investigation into how the CEO died, unless he's like also an assassin, which might explain his collected confidence in the face of Commander Shepard.
Well, but they didn't know that he died. Borland came back from vacation just fine.
Correct. Yeah, but clearly, because it's part of Cerberus Daily News, eventually it became public knowledge that Borland had died.
True.
So okay. I guess we're going to have to continue on to see where this story goes. But clearly, Quarn is at the very least an opportunistic con man who is amazing at thinking on his feet and also an identity thief. Because he takes his passport and genetic material. I don't want to know where he got the genetic material. And then tries to assume, like, he or doesn't try. He successfully assumes the identity of the CEO and runs the company. And also gains a media reputation for being a legendary partier and being on magazine covers, being this media darling. So it's not like he just assumes the CEO's identity and then tries to lay low while he's making it rich, right? He actually, like, seeks out the media attention while faking being someone else.
I guess that's how you keep your face up. Well, your bare face up, I guess. Ooh, I wonder if he had to fake markings and everything like that, too. Oh, so many questions. So many questions.
Right. Right. All right. So why don't you go ahead and read the next section for us here?
All right. Despite a lack of credentials, Korn successfully ran Dilumcore for 2 years before a routine traffic stop took a fresh tissue sample and caught the discrepancy in his gene print. Korn is being held on charges of fraud and impersonation and goes to trial tomorrow.
Okay, so he's caught during a routine traffic stop. But I guess it's routine in the future that routine traffic stops, you have to surrender some of your tissue? I'm sorry, what?
I have questions about that too. I'm wondering if maybe they don't take driver's licenses anymore. And to make sure that you are who you say you are, everybody just has to get DNA sampled. I'm seeing massive government overreach and I'm like, no, please, no.
How are they going to get the DNA?
We're also talking Turians. I mean, you can get a blood sample very quickly from a
fingertip. I'm sorry, officer. Break. Was that not enough for you? All right. I wouldn't put it past Korn to try and get out of a ticket that way, but clearly a little bit more than a ticket that he's facing, charges of fraud, impersonation, and he's going to a jury trial for this. What is going on here in the judicial system? Like, how is this not like a more serious charge than fraud? Is impersonation itself a crime? Because I thought that was only a crime if you're impersonating a public servant.
Well, we're also only thinking in human law. This is Turian law, right?
Does it say?
Oh, but they're on Nos Astra.
Well, maybe. It doesn't say where the traffic stop happened.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere, I guess.
Could be. It could also be like impersonation of a public figure like that, somebody who I'm assuming that they're then figuring out that this guy's probably dead. Because the real man hasn't been seen in years and all the money that would have been associated with him. I could see something, a long impersonation being a crime.
Yeah, maybe the investigation is still ongoing, right, while he's in behind bars waiting trial on the lesser charges. And maybe they're trying to see whether or not he stole any money from dead Borland. But you know what's incredible here? He has presumably no experience in business. Although, to be a con man, you must have some kind of transferable skills. I'll leave it at that. He is
not a con man. Get it right. He's a con artist.
Con artist. Oh, yes. And I'm a fart artist. Anyway, he was able to run one of the galaxy's largest tech firms for 2 years and make a profit. And he had no experience leading any companies before that we know of.
That we know of.
I feel like this is some commentary from the writing team right now that you don't actually need to have all that much experience to lead a company to profitability.
I mean, if everything's already there and you're just don't make any major changes, I guess you could just write it out. Fake it till you make it, baby.
There have certainly been more than a few CEOs that have crashed the company into the ground and then got golden parachutes. So I think Korn probably wasn't too worried.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we get another update about what is going on in his trial. And it turns out that bing, 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 we were right. It was not his first rodeo. Here's the second segment from Cerberus Daily News. It says, a new wrinkle in the trial of Roland Korn, the Turian who masqueraded as the CEO of Dilumcore Systems, passing himself off as Jackson Borland, isn't the first time He's stepped into someone else's life. Quarren has impersonated dozens of other people, including a stunt driver, sous chef, martial arts instructor, ambassador, Varin tamer, news anchor, and stand-up comedian.
That is the most random list ever.
You literally could not pick skill sets with wider berths between them. At like stand-up comedian and stunt driver. Wow. I would love to know how he managed to impersonate both of them.
Yeah, and how do you go from an ambassador to, you know, a Varin tamer? Those skill sets do not overlap.
Maybe he, like, lost a finger, and that's canon. We just didn't notice during the Citadel DLC, and that's he lost it from being a Varin tamer. How did each one of these gigs fall apart? Did he just get bored and disappear, or did people find him out? Did the Varin find him out?
Oh, I'm most concerned about the ambassador, because that's a seat of political power within.
Who was he impersonating? Oh, my God. Is it canon that he was the quote unquote Reapers guy? Was that actually Roland Quarren? Yes. Reapers. We've since dismissed that claim. No, that would be a counselor. It wouldn't be an ambassador, but still fun to imagine. All right. Well, I guess he's also a stay-at-home astronaut, too. So there's really nothing this guy doesn't have on his resume. Although he doesn't have a resume, he just kind of lies about everything. So the police must have something to say about this, right, Genesis?
Nos Astron Police Chief Sonia Treme stated that Quarren is being cooperative and that he was living off of what he made once he joined Delum Corps. Borland's personal accounts haven't been touched.
Wow. Is this a thief with morals? He's not even touching the guy's money that he previously earned. He's just living off of the money that he earned while pretending to be CEO?
I'm sensing a little bit of a morality here. Like, he's not taking anything that was earned before. It's only what he's earned since then. So if there was a will or anything in place that would eventually get figured out, at least, you know, Borland's kids will still have the money that dad made before he died.
Maybe that was his justification. I'd like to imagine so, because sometimes I like to imagine the best in people. And if you believe me on that, I don't know what to tell you. But I think that there's probably some other detail that happened that's preventing him from taking that money, but he's just going to play it off and as like good PR, right? Because he's a con man. So,
see, I am the one who always thinks of the best in people first, so I will be the beacon of light that says that, yes, it's for nice reasons, that's why. Either that or he didn't want any red flags to show up about withdrawing massive amounts of money after going on a vacation and coming back.
Bingo. Yeah, I think you might be right there. Your accounting background coming in handy there. I didn't even consider things from that perspective. He might be a Robin Hood type, though, because it's interesting he stole from the corporation, right? Taking Borland's pay. But Borland's dead. Borland doesn't need it at that point. But he didn't steal anything technically from Borland. So.
Mm-hmm. And I guess technically he didn't steal from the company either. He's just continuing to make money through the company.
He is working. Yeah. he's literally working as somebody else. So he's, I guess, showing up to work. So is that theft? That's a really, I don't know if it's theft. It's definitely fraud. He's definitely not who he says he is. That's a real, oh man, lawyers would have a field day with this one. I wonder if there's any lawyers who listen to the Lorecast and they're like doing like litigation in their own minds while considering this. We would love to hear your insights about that one. But we have to go over to the midbreak where, Genesis, you have a voice line for me to guess. And I've been told that this is a softball, but I bet you I'm still going to manage to screw it up anyway. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer. The foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard.
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
All right, here we are in the middle of the show where we read out your 5-star reviews that you've left us. And Genesis, we have a couple here, one from Poland. We have one from listener Deus Ex Ignor in Poland, who leaves a 5-star review and says, the best Mass Effect lorecast in Citadel space. Hey guys, greetings from Poland. I've finally caught up with all the episodes just in time for episode 200. Congrats on that, by the way. In my opinion, this is not only the best podcast related to Mass Effect, but simply one of the best podcasts, period. Aw, Deus Ex, thank you. I don't know if we're worthy of that praise, but we try and we'd like to have fun here. Deus Ex says, during the whole time I've been listening and or watching, there wasn't a single episode when either of the hosts seemed unprepared or distracted, and every time there is something new and exciting. 200 episodes ago, I was simply looking for something easy, which I can listen to while exercising, related to the universe I've loved since I first played it 12 years ago. Now I can say that this lorecast, and you guys specifically, managed to inspire me to dig deeper, play through different ways, and dive into the external content. I just received the Art of Mass Effect book that Sam recommended, and it's really awesome. Anywho, in 7 the Legend and Genesis, hope I spelled that right. Thank you for all the content, keep up the good work, and I should go. Well, Deus Ex Ignor, thank you so much for that very kind review. Like I said, I don't know if we're worthy of that level of praise, but we're just happy to be able to talk about Mass Effect every week with our favorite community in the galaxy. And we also have another one here from Matthew Miller in the United States on Audible. Leaves a 5-star reviews and says, Codex confirmed, awesome lorecast. I know I'm late to the party, but better late than never. This is my second Robots Radio Network show, my first being the Fallout lorecast. I'm a night custodian for a local school system. I always love it when people include what they do for a living so I can get a window into their life, you know? Okay, so Matthew Miller says, I'm a night custodian for a local school system and I'm by myself, so I fill the silence with audiobooks, podcasts, and radio dramas. I love True Vault Detective. I stumbled across this while looking for a new podcast about a month ago, and I'm on episode 63 as of this writing, so I have some ground to cover. The music of the Mass Effect episode is my absolute favorite so far, and it has given me a new appreciation for the music of the series, in particular, a new respect for Mass Effect 2's soundtrack. The hosts, Tom and In 7 the Legend, not only play off of each other well, but they definitely complement one another in terms of perspective and approach to topics. 10 out of 10 recommend for any Mass Effect fan and or fans of the Robots Radio Network. Well, thank you, Matthew, and I can't wait for you to get to the episodes where Genesis here joins us. All right. Now, Genesis, I believe that you have a voice line pop quiz for me. So, let us go into this voice line pop quiz, and I think I've found the perfect sounder that we've already used once to initiate this segment.
Don't fuck with Arya.
All right. And here we are in the voice line pop quiz section where we will take alternating turns every week, trying to stump the other host in pulling a random voice line from anywhere in the games and asking them for who said it with the context. So, Genesis pulled this one for me. I'm looking at it. The file name just says Trip on it. I don't know what that means. We're going to find out. We're going to listen to it live. All right.
A million light years from where humanity began, and we walk into a bar filled with men drooling over half-naked women shaking their asses on a stage. I can't decide if that's funny or sad.
I see why this place is so popular. It's got quite the, view.
Hey, Lieutenant, put your tongue back in your mouth before you trip on it.
Nice. Is that from Flux, Ashley, Caden, Mass Effect 1?
It's not Flux.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow. Is it Korsden then? Yeah, what was I thinking? Flux? There's no strippers in Flux. Okay, you know what I meant, though. I am clearly sleep deprived.
Yes, but yeah, definitely Ashley and Caden in Mass Effect 1 Korsden.
Yeah. Lieutenant, put your tongue back in your mouth. Try not to stop. I knew that Ashley doesn't really take kindly to the Asari strippers. I don't think I've ever brought Caden along on this at the same time with Ashley. Maybe I have. Maybe I forgot about it. I don't think I have, though. Anyway, that one was a softball. You're right. So, am I obligated to pick a softball one for you next week?
No.
All right. All right. I'm going to try and stump her for next week. Stay tuned to see if I can. Probably not. So, all right. We got a planet card as well.
Scans have found something.
Genesis, you want to go ahead and read Polino?
Yeah. Polino, a relatively small hydrogen helium gas giant. Polino remains undeveloped while its sister planet, Metaponto, garners all the attention. This was not always the case. In 2180, news stories seeded throughout the extranet claimed that element zero was being found on Polino's moons in record loads. This turned out to be a scam spread by the Dunawarchum Consortium.
I was so wanting you to say that word that I was like, Genesis, do you want to read the planet card for Polino? Like waiting for you to try and pronounce Dunawarchum or Dunawarchum.
Yep. Okay. I don't even remember how I pronounced it. I just saw the word and said it. Dunawarchum? Yep. Nope. Can't do it again. And they are an Elcor corporation trying to scare up investors. Really? Now an Elcor is being scammy. Okay. After a small fleet of space probes scouted the area, the hype quickly deflated, and the myth only persists now in unwanted extranet email messages.
Urgently. Urgently, wealthy, prescient investor, this one has a good venture idea for you. Spots are going quickly on the planet Polino. There is untapped reserves of element zero waiting to be cashed in. Click here. If I was scammed by an Elcor, I wouldn't even be mad. I would be mad at myself. I'd be like, how did I let this happen?
Yeah. My biggest question about me for the Elcor that I have is, can they lie about their emotions?
Yes, I think they can, because I think Herat proves that.
Oh.
Doesn't Herat prove that? I think Herat does. Someone can correct me, but I just happen to remember that Herat was like the only Elcor that we meet who very clearly is being deceptive.
Okay. Because I just want to know if they could become the ultimate spy about just straight up lying about how they're feeling. And just, you know, trying to get information.
No one expects an Elcor to be lying.
So, exactly.
So it's just the easiest lies ever. Yeah, as Retrobot here in chat says, with deceit, there is plentiful Ezo to be had on this planet. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, in case anyone was wondering, in Mass Effect 2's scanner, that planet has zero Ezo. So...
Absolutely duplicitous. Love it.
So duplicitous. So scammy. Anyway, that's our planet card.
Shepard, we've arrived. The crew is waiting.
All right. And I have to now shout out our Tier 5 patrons because they have continuously supported this lorecast, including Edboy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosino, Retrobot, Superfly 440, Unfortunate Benefactor, and William. And of course... that blast to your eardrums can only mean one thing. It means our Commander Shrinking Shep has continued his support for the month of June. And we will be following up with Shrinky Shep, I'm pretty sure that Shrinky Shep still wants us to cover the Dark Energy plot line. And so we're planning on doing that for later in June. But that being said, I want to just take this opportunity to issue a call out to any BioWare employees, present or former. If you knew anything about the Dark Energy plot line, or you know someone who did, we would love to be able to talk on them or talk to them on this fan podcast. 17 years, 18 years after Mass Effect 1. Who's counting? Anyway, I'll just leave it there. We've got our email in the show notes. You can drop us a clandestine secret line if you want. Anyway, let's get back to the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Solarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right, so this trial doesn't really go as the authorities expect. And, big surprise, the con man is on the loose. So, the third segment from Cerberus Daily News says, Nosostra police are on a manhunt this evening for Roland Quarn, who slipped his tracking bracelet and led police on a two-hour chase before disappearing. Before he left, the Turian recorded a message to the employees of Delimcor Systems, thanking many of them by name and giving advice for the company's future.
Who is this guy?
That he feels the need to fulfill a nicety. That he's thanking employees by name to let them know that he remembers them. That this wasn't just, you know, a heartless scam for him. That he actually cared about these employees. Or at least he wants them to think that while he's robbing them. Not really them, I guess, but the company.
Yeah, and okay. Only a two-hour chase? That seems to be either he's really good at disappearing or the cops kind of just gave up.
Yeah, two-hour chase is actually not that long. Like, I know many police perimeters that have been up for far longer than that. So 2 hours kind of seems like, you know, Nosostra police, maybe you shouldn't be putting that out. Maybe because now criminals are going to think they can get away from you pretty easily. So I don't know. Is Roland Quarn that slippery, that elusive, or is it just Nosostra police being ineffective at their jobs? I don't know. I guess that's for you to decide. Regardless, I feel like Roland Quarn is becoming a folk hero.
A little bit, yeah. Especially because it's like once all of his identity is starting to get revealed and then he does something like this where he's basically kind of just given the middle finger. I got away, but I'm still going to thank the people that were working for me.
Yeah, this is a very much like catch me if you can. Catch me if you Turi can. I'll be here all week. This is like, I'm trying to think of another fictional example of this. I don't know. It's a cliche that's overplayed, and it's like, you know, the very courteous rogue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. Very much who this is.
So we have more courtesy here. Quarn ended his little thank you message by saying, "Sorry about the bail. I wish everyone the best. I've never been prouder of the people I've worked with, and that's saying something." Authorities believe Quarn will be attempting to book a passage off system.
This D.B. Cooper role-playing mm-hmm. right here. Like, just robbing the company, bouncing, and being so confident that you are going to get away in it, and then issuing an apology. He's gaining this D.B. Cooper kind of following. This guy, and in particular this scene, if it were animated, voiced, and in the game, I can imagine so many players wanting to romance him.
I mean, as I was reading through all this info, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Because Garrus is a Turian who doesn't know what to do with gray, and Roland only lives in the gray. These guys are perfect foils.
Like, just this character, I can just, in my mind, I can see Antonio Banderas playing him. Ooh. Can't you? Like, sorry, yes. Sorry about the bail. I wish everyone the best.
Oh, that just kicks it up even a whole nother level. That's rude, Sam.
Yeah, or perhaps Pedro Pascal.
If Daddy of the Internet was playing this man, there'd be no, like, there would be riots if he wasn't romanceable.
All the ladies would need to put their boners in wheelchairs, so to speak. Anyway, hope you all aren't listening with kids in the car. I really do believe, though, that this guy is supposed to be that cliche kind of courteous rogue, thief with morals, Robin Hood kind of archetype of character. And he's nailing it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Nailing the con. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you think that after he escapes, after he slips off his house arrest bracelet, you'd think that he would want to be laying low for a while after that. But you would think wrong, because he pops back up and in an even more flamboyant way, like even more flamboyant than impersonating a Fortune 500 CEO who died. This guy, okay, just get this. This is from Cerberus Daily News. The Earth City of New York is breaking with a centuries-long tradition this year to inaugurate a new one. The Times Square New Year's Eve ball, a crystal globe festooned in lights that descends in the last moments of the Earth standard year, will be moved to the Presidium on the Citadel, where it will descend at precisely 1 minute before midnight Eastern Standard Time. In the ball's place on Earth will be a volumetric display of the Citadel Ball, and giant monitors up and down Broadway will display the crowds on the Presidium. Quote, "We feel this is our year," said New York Mayor Trudy Rispallo. "Humans are on the galactic stage now in a big way, and we invite the galaxy to celebrate with us."
Did you pull the wrong card? Because why this tangent? This is about the Times Square ball.
Oh, yeah. You'll see. I needed to set the stage a little bit, much like Roland does. I needed to preface this with the socio-political context surrounding the events leading up to what he does. Because here is an instance where humans are on the galactic stage, as the mayor of New York puts this. All eyes are on them. Right. And this is somewhat of a soft power move, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Having the entire Citadel celebrate an Earth holiday. Yeah.
On Eastern Standard Time, Earth time. Yeah. So this is a big, big deal. And this is in 2185. Remember, so it's not like humans have been on the stage for a while. This has been, you know what, 28 years. So huge, high profile event, the New Year's Eve ball going to the Citadel. And what happens? Here's the very next segment from Cerberus Daily News. The manhunt is on once again for Roland Quarn. The Turian con man and thief is believed to have stolen the Times Square New Year's Eve ball, sending event organizers on the Citadel and in New York into a panic. The time ball, which is 4 meters in diameter and weighs 5,185 kilograms in Earth gravity, disappeared sometime in the station's last night cycle, just 2 standard days before the New Year's Eve festivities.
Wow. The audacity of this Turian. Are you kidding me? You stole the ball
while he's on the run already. Like, he was already on the run for impersonating the Delamcor CEO. And he decides, you know what? I'm just going to steal the New Year's Eve ball.
Because I can. It's there. I want it. It's shiny.
No, you crazy bastards. You did it. You really did it. And this one is pretty close, actually, to the measurements for the real one. For our American friends, that is 11,431 pounds and about 13 feet wide.
That's massive. Like, that's
huge.
I didn't really realize that the real world ball was that big. I guess when you see it on TV, it looks a lot smaller, but holy wow, 13 feet.
13 feet wide and 11,000 pounds. So he makes off with this like a weird kind of Liberace dressed Grinch on New Year's Eve. Like, I'm just
all the sparkly shinies.
Exactly. He loves the shiny, apparently. And I guess he's trying to rob everyone of a Happy New Year. So that's cool. Thanks, Roland. Uh-huh. I think this is a legacy project. You know, this is, he's not doing this for the money. He's doing this to be remembered.
This is complete and total bragging rights. It is theft on the largest scale stage possible, you know, in front of the entire galaxy because everyone was watching this.
Right. He wants the
man's a legend.
And that is exactly what he wants. So I will not give it to him. While it is possible Quarn did not steal the ball, Cerberus Daily News says, a paper note claiming responsibility and signed with his handprint was left at the scene of the ball's disappearance. Quote, at this point, we don't know if it's still on the station, said a source in CSEC who asked not to be named. Frankly, we don't even know how he got the thing into an elevator. It was fully assembled.
I guess it would have to go in some type of cargo elevator or partially disassembled, or he's got a shrink ray.
Lifted with like a crane high enough off the wards until you get to like the zero gravity point.
Or he smoke and mirrored it and made it look like the ball was no longer there. Some David Copperfield.
Yeah, there we go. I'm now imagining Roland Quarn in Ocean's 11. This is basically what this is. And this is put out just one day before New Year's Eve. So authorities have like almost no time to find this New Year's Eve ball before it's a completely moot point. Like, it doesn't matter if they find it on January 2nd.
No. Because it's got to happen in the moment. So what did they end up doing to celebrate? I mean, you got to do something for New Year's Eve.
They improvised with biotics, and it was epic. So here is the next Cerberus Daily News segment on New Year's Eve. Or I'm sorry, New Year's Day. It says, last night's observance of the human New Year on the Citadel is already being called the Shower of Gold. And is getting endless coverage on morning news shows.
A golden shower? Legend, where is this going?
Yeah, I didn't write the lore. Okay, don't blame me. That's just what it says. I'm just reading the prompter. It says, after the New Year's Eve time ball was stolen, event organizers created an emergency team to stage the climactic moment. Climactic moment, golden shower. I think somebody's a little bit frustrated in writing this. After assembling over 350 biotic attendants, organizers dumped 400 kilos of glitter and mylar strips at the base of the spire. The Citadel spire, by the way.
That's way too much glitter. That is going to cause massive problems. That is going to gum up some of the machinery. There's going to be glitter on the Citadel for decades, if not centuries to come.
All of that glitter and the reflecting light from the nebula. Can you imagine? Like, everyone's like, my eyes!
Right? Oh, man.
And, oh, now I'm imagining, like, a little keeper was caught in the middle of all the glitter, and now it's, like, completely covered in glitter and doesn't know what to do.
Aw. But I also want to see a shiny little glittery backpack now.
He would look like a middle school girl in the 1990s.
A craft that your kid brings home from school that you're like, oh, this is going to go everywhere.
Crap, this is going to be like at least 4 extra vacuums this week. All right, so that's a pretty flamboyant kind of improvisation. 350 biotic attendants. Where are they taking this, Jen?
During the final countdown, the biotics lifted the mass into the sky, held it there with singularities. Then a strobe of light fired in time with the new year pushed and pulled the sparkles into a tornado that rained down on partygoers. I got it all over my scalp and some in my mouth, said one Asari. But I also proposed to my bondmate at midnight. So I'd say the night was a big success.
Aw, isn't that a heartwarming way to wrap that up?
Yeah, I love glitter in my hair and in my mouth.
If it got in their mouth, does that mean that they're having some glittery poops later?
Possibly. I really hope that they use the biodegradable stuff.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, that where does, now I'm thinking of, where does the Citadel's sewage go? Do they just jettison it into the nebula? Is there some massive cloud of poop and pee like floating somewhere in that nebula?
Maybe they shoot it towards the sun and let it just evaporate.
They probably just shoot it towards Heshtok or something where the Vorcha are. they don't really care. Okay, that is a rare heartwarming Mass Effect moment. It doesn't really answer what happens with the New Year's Eve ball, but that is found a month later, so way too late. But when they find it, authorities find a note that says, it says, quote, CSEC needs funds. You can get anything onto this station. So I think that is implying that Roland Quarn stole the Citadel or the New Year's Eve ball from the Citadel and then returned it to the Citadel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he got it off of the Citadel and then returned it because you can get anything onto this station. So it left. It left and came back. Oh my gosh.
Either that or he's playing a mind game and he just wants them to think that he did.
Either way, I think I'm in love.
And that is the final time that we hear from him until we meet him in Mass Effect 3. So, like, while people are playing through Mass Effect 3 in the Citadel DLC, just keep in mind, this is that guy that you are talking to next to the bathroom. That's the dude.
Is it next to the bathroom, or is he the guy that, he's the one that's standing outside of the final area you have to go through, where you have to pass through the sensors and everything like that?
That's right, with the guards that you need to, and you need to hack into the cameras while the guards aren't looking. You are correct. But he's standing right there. That guy is somehow still on the loose, after having stolen the New Year's Eve, the Times Square ball, and impersonated all of those different people. And he's just standing right there like, yeah, go ahead, try and report me to the guards.
Yeah, on the Citadel, a place that he should not be. He is so wanted.
Yeah, he's got like 7 stars wanted level. And 7 out of 5, and he just does not care. So that's who we're talking about. I thought this guy might rank up there as one of the most interesting, like, featured extras, I guess you could call him, of the Mass Effect story. I can't think of another one that's that interesting.
He's gonna be the new host or the new Dos Equis guy.
Oh my gosh, he really could. He is the most interesting Turian in the galaxy.
Yep.
Okay, now we need that on a Lorecast t-shirt. Roland Quarn, and it says, the most interesting Turian in the galaxy. And then, like, galaxy has 2 X's, because we can't do too much with Dos Equis, so.
I like this. We'll get it done. We'll have it made. Make it so.
It will happen. It will be so. All right, well, that wraps up this week. I cannot believe that there was that much lore behind that guy. I'm glad that we were able to cover it, and we'll be getting back to some corporate episodes, but also we're still going to be putting together that Dark Energy plotline episode, see what we can find out. I would love, again, to be able to get in touch with someone who actually knows something about where it was headed or what was conceptualized, even if it wasn't official. But yeah, what do you got going on, and how can people get a hold of you, Jen?
Yeah, so getting a hold of me on the Discord is the best way to do that. And you can also listen in on my two other shows, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer, and the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk. And news of the future we have been getting lately, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, right? 2.3 update coming out very soon. Or maybe. We don't know when, right?
Yes, we do. It's June 26th is when the new patch is going to hit.
That is very soon. That is very, very soon. Okay, well, that's exciting, especially if you like Cyberpunk. I have been getting into some other games lately. I've been really deep into Subnautica. Oh, God, that was an unintentional dad joke. I didn't even mean that deep into Subnautica. Anyway, that is a really fun game. I cannot wait until Subnautica 2 comes out. I don't know when that's going to be. A lot of fun looking stuff showed off at the Xbox showcase. Can't wait for Aphelion. That looks fun. Number of other things. Also, been playing a lot of Tainted Grail. For old school RPG fans that listen to this, go check it out if you get the chance. Don't like drop money you don't have, but you know, if you got a few extra dollars laying around, go check it out. I promise you, you will like Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon. It is a dark fantasy RPG that kind of feels like a combo between Dark Souls and Skyrim. Anyway, that's what I got going on. I have not been streaming lately because the wife and I are still trying to juggle a lot of plates and balance things with the baby. We're still trying to find our groove. But yeah. I guess if people want to get a hold of me in the meantime, you can always join the Robots Radio Discord. That link is in the show notes. Or you can follow me on any social media. If I have it, it's going to be at N7TheLegend. And as a reminder, if people friend request me on Steam and Xbox and you're a listener to this show, I'm very happy to accept that friend request. However, let me know. Let me know who you are. That way I know it's not just some random scam account. Right, Genesis? I think that goes for you too.
Always send a message along with it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all we got for this week. Until next time, Spectres, we should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.